Today I have my very special friend whom I have known for the longest time, since 2012, 2011.
Yeah, I think so.
We go way back. 2011.
Yeah, way back.
Yeah, we have known each other for a long time now, so we have kind of seen each other going through phases, taking interest in martial arts.
A lot of phases. Yeah, man.
So how's everything, man? How's everything going?
It's fine, bro. It's fine. It's just, you know, just keeping myself busy, you know, doing what I'm passionate about, moving forward one step at a time. Yeah, nothing special. I mean, for me, I've realized a pretty couple of good things because, you know, the lockdown kind of paused everything up. So if it was not at pause, it would be very hard to, you know, understand. Because we humans are always moving, we're very dynamic. So it's very hard to see us at our default state, which is just a pause. And yeah, I just had a much better understanding of the, you know, human experience of the human nature, mind, how it works, how it tricks you, you know, just a few small things like that.
I mean, it's awesome on one hand to have a healthy relationship with silence, with not being able to constantly be involved with people and activities all the time. That's a good thing on one hand, isn't it?
It is.
So to the listeners, this is my friend again. His name is Shomya Bratha. We call him Shomu. And we are almost childhood buddies. We have known each other all the way since we were martial artists, when we were in high school and even before that. This guy, I was helping him with push-ups and things like that, and in
turn many. No, come on, my push-ups were amazing.
Yeah, but you know, like those were days. And later on, he's the one who has who got me introduced to a lot of systems in martial art that I didn't know at that time, such as Krav Maga and system. And we were trading.
Yeah, man. Even you. There was a time where I was very like down, I would say, and I used to roll with you on that, you know, place that Gitanjali near the metro. It was fun day. It was very fun day.
Yeah. At that time, four or five years.
Yeah. Because I never saw a martial art that is, you know, in that way, like I will say, like, because you know how we used to train, and when I looked into your gym, the way you guys used to train was much more intense, much more, you know, practical. So
freestyling,
that was very different.
So, Shomya Bratha, tell us something about you. I mean, I have known quite a bit about you, but tell the people, tell the world something about you as well. Some of your interests, stuff that you have been doing, what you are for, so that they have a better understanding that who they're listening to.
Yeah. I'm 21. I'm a crazy motherfucker. I come from a very, I would say, you can say blue collar. Like a blue collar family, like very average, nothing special, like a underdog mentality, you know, trying to survive, trying to strive better.
A typical Indian.
Yeah, just, you can say that, just making things happen, you know, just like, nothing like that, like nothing special. Yeah, I have my own crazy stories like everyone else. I have my own bad times and everything. Yeah, just a normal guy, man, nothing special.
Yeah. So you said you are about 21 right now, right? So we are of almost same. I'm 22, you're 21. So yeah, I mean, today's podcast, the episode, it's going to be titled as, I guess, what is spirituality or Vipassana experience, somewhere along the lines. So let's start with this. Since you said you are 21-year-old, I mean, at this age, not many people are into, you know, they're not in touch with the spiritual side of the things. Spirituality is a very alien thing to most 21-year-old kids. I think you would agree, right?
Yeah.
So how did 21-year-old Shomya Bratha Shomu got into this whole thing? I mean, what intrigued you to look into it? Because I'm guessing that most kids of our age, because we are kids, are either, you know, busy doing things such as, you know, focusing on career, which is a good thing on one hand, but you know, they're really zoned into things such as sex, drinking and clubbing and things like that. You know where I'm going with this. So what has gotten you hooked into this whole spirituality thing? Could you elaborate on that?
cat is just looking at me. Yeah, so
you have a cat?
Yeah, I do. He just got his leg fractured, you know.
Oh, for,
about
how
5 years
he?
Ago, yeah.
How old is
he's
he?
He's like, I think, seven, 8 months. Yeah, he's just seven, 8 months.
Baby.
Yeah, kind of. Like, he's just growing, man. He just fell down from the terrace. And my God, he had a very bad, like, dislocated feet. But now he's fine. He's healing, I guess.
You
so,
took him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also have a Rottweiler with me right now. I've just got
Seriously?
One.
Seriously?
Yeah, lady.
I have a very bad story with Rottweiler. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we'll go into it in some other episode.
Yeah. So the thing was you asked me 21. Okay, the thing is,
how did you get into this whole thing? Yeah.
I will tell you one thing from my experience when I went to Vipassana. I literally thought that I'm gonna be the only guy at 21.
Yeah.
Vipassana.
Sorry for cutting in. This guy has also done Vipassana meditation, so this is something that I should have
which
mentioned.
Is not a big deal.
I mean, really it's an interesting thing. I mean, I didn't know what Vipassana is about
it's
a year ago.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like another thing you do, you know, like in life, just another, you know, check box, like a bungee jumping or something like that. So when I went there, I was like, you know,
you're making it sound like for most people, they can't keep up with the practice, to be honest.
The only guy, I'll tell you this, the only guy who left was a guy who was fucked in the head, nothing else. Like, he was the one who was most excited. You know, I have researched so many things, I know everything. And when I went there, I didn't research anything. Mm. I just went there and I was like, fuck, this guy knows so much. Wow, he's amazing. And I was talking to him. So he had a car. His mom also came. He dropped my mom and my girlfriend came to drop me there. Mm. So his mom actually dropped my mom and my girlfriend. So very thankful of him. But he was the one who quit in day two. And he was already breaking so much rules. Like, he was breaking the rules of silence and all. So, but he was like the guy who, you know, I thought he will survive because he looked so confident. Like, I've researched everything. I know everything. But, you know, barking dog seldom bites.
Yeah,
then,
true.
So what happened was outside that there was another guy who kept crying so
kept
many
crying.
Times. I'm still in touch with him. Yeah. It was
really?
A very painful and emotional process for some. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but he cried, but he didn't give up. No one gave up. No one at the day 10, everyone was there except that guy. So yeah, everyone
really?
Just told him. Yeah.
How many of you were there that day?
I would say from the guys' batch, there were around 30 to 35 guys. And from the girls, no, of all age group, all age group, there were old guys, there were middle age guys, there were guys who were younger than me. There was a guy who was 17 who was crying and all. So yeah, all type of guys. You know, there were a lot of gay guys who were having trouble accepting themselves in the community. One of my friends who become full time monk from there. He, he's doing great. Yeah. So, yeah, you see all kind of people. There were normal people, you know, businessmen and everything. So, yeah, I thought I was just going to the only 21 old, but I was so wrong. Most of the people, I would say around 20-35% were my age. Outside that, middle age was the most rare, I would say. Old and young was the most common. Yeah,
so I guess
because middle age people,
the awareness is raving these days, I guess. Otherwise, like, I wouldn't have guessed the figure. So I guess more and more people are becoming aware of this whole thing with time.
Yeah, and this is the thing of, this is thanks to Instagram post. Before, there was nothing like that, you know, like people, how do you get used to know about something? Like if someone talked to you in your ear to ear, you know, hey, I've done this, have you tried this? Now everything is available through YouTube and Instagram. You know, you see everyone after a breakup posting quotes and statuses in their WhatsApp. So, you know, these ideas are getting more and more profounder, I would say. And then... like the thing of Vipassana is I actually heard it from a friend and he actually told me like to go for a long time back, but I was resisting it. I was like, nah. And
I mean, that's what I was asking you. How did you decide that this is what I should do? I mean, tell us about
it. Well, I didn't have an option. I came to a point where I was like all time low. And if I didn't do that, I don't know what would happen, but I would be pretty
suffering from something
way.
Like depression or anxiety or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. A lot of stuff. I would say.
When did you bring your awareness to that? That okay, now I need help, because most kids of our age, let's be honest, are in denial of a lot of, you know, pent up issues that we have.
See, I would say this, everyone has problem, everyone has blockages, everyone has trauma, whatever you want to call them. But for me, I've seen it's just not necessary. You don't have to deal with this thing. It's not necessary unless it comes up in the present. It's not necessary you going back to the past and reliving all this stuff. No point. For me, it was coming up. There were things that were bothering me. So there were things that were triggering me to like very next level, I would say. Like, and I couldn't make sense of what I was doing. So I took a Vipassana, and the main reason I took it because I just didn't have any option. If I didn't took it, I just couldn't accept it. Like, oh my God, like what was I doing? I felt like I'm going mad. So I took it and here I am.
Yeah.
I'll tell you personally, I had a total 180 degree change of emotion.
Right. And I mean, I can tell that by your presence. It feels different since we are talking
this is how you connect. After that, when I take pictures, upload it to WhatsApp and Instagram, I understood there were many friends, and there was a girl who was in my college. She told me her dad is closely connected to the Vipassana community of Kolkata. I understood there are so many people who have actually also done it before. So yeah, that's how you also connect with the people.
Yeah, I mean it's good. Like I'm surprised to know that so many youngsters from our city are getting into things like this. It's commendable.
The thing is, I would love to add one more thing.
Yeah.
Is I like there were two places for guys. There was one dorm. Is kind of ugly thing. You don't want to go to dorm because everyone is like, for me, I got a personal room. I got lucky. And first day I stayed alone and there was, I stayed fully alone and I had my own shower and everything. Next day my roommate came in and he came all the way from, I don't know where was this place. It's the most south place of India. I think it's, I don't Kerala. Know, he comes from a village.
Kerala.
It's not Kerala, man. He comes from a village actually. He came all the way to Calcutta just to do this program. That's why I realized that, dude, I'm nothing. People are coming. People came from all around the world. There was this girl I met. She was from Italy. Sorry, she was from France. Then there was another girl with my friend, he was talking to. She was from Hong Kong. Then there was this girl who was from China. Yeah, I know. And during the height of COVID also. So
it's kind of a big deal. I mean, many people are coming from all over the world, then must be the thing, I guess. Otherwise, why would people be willing to invest all that money and time into something like this? I mean, I'm curious and I've been looking forward to doing this. And
It's just not Vipassana itself. It's just people are really curious about knowing themselves, like what they are made of, what's their nature, how to understand their emotion, how to, just this curiosity to know, just to, relieve. I mean, to handle pressure and everything and all this, I think, negative feelings or whatever you want to call them. If people have this thing, they have this drive that they want to, handle. They want to know how to handle their emotions and everything. So it's just not Vipassana. It's just, I've seen people sign up for, what's this called? Osho meditation.
Sadhguru has Isha Kriya. Inner engineering. He has one called Inner Engineering.
One of my friend is from Goa. Goa has so many spiritual healers, man. So many fucking spiritual healers. And it's like
there are a lot of and a lot of ayahuasca shamans as well.
Yeah, I actually thought of doing ayahuasca treatment, but I'm glad I didn't do it.
We'll come to this. I have this question about psychedelics. We'll come to it towards the end, but let's just roll with the basic rudimentary stuff. So Somia, let's just go with the Bengali dialect instead of trying to make it all fancy and cool.
Why not? I'm a Brahmin after all.
Yeah. All right, bro. So what is spirituality according to you? Because, it's pretty glittery on the surface, but people on YouTube these days are making it sound like some, I don't know, man, how do you put it? Something that normal people can't comprehend or get into, or it's out of reach. These are my personal interpretation. Of course, I could be wrong. I'm not saying that I know it all, but what's your take on this whole matter? Like, what is spirituality for you, or the way you see it? Because it's on the internet, the definition is just all over the place. It's very vague. So I want your perspective on this matter.
Okay. You kind of put me on the spot here. It's hard to, describe a whole
in one word,
but I would say this, like, in every community, if you look at martial arts, if you look at, workplace, everywhere, every community, you will find
people who are good at what they do and people who are, you know, shitty, bad. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you say in products and everything, you know, like, let's say, you know, computers, mobile phones, everywhere, there's always shitty products with, you know, they try to market it like as a ultimate shit and everything. And that's always going to be there. The snake, I think it's called the snake oil or something.
Snake oil salesman.
Snake oil, yeah. So that's, those things are always going to be there. MacDojo, whatever you want to call it. And for me, the real spirituality is finding the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth. And spirituality, which teaches the ultimate truth, are same everywhere. Like, you're going to, like, for one example, a huge principle is you accepting death. This is everywhere. This is true everywhere. You will die. You only live once. Like, enjoy the full of your life. You have to be in the present. These are universal truth. You really can't change them unless you're really fucked in the head and you interpret these things wrong. I don't know how. So,
I mean, the thing yeah, bro. Sorry for cutting in.
I think
the thing about death is pretty interesting. Like, I was very curious to know about this whole thing. I mean, I just had this epiphany one day and I was thinking, as to, I mean, of course, I could be wrong and my notion could be replaced later on. But to me, what appears to be obvious is that, see, when we say things such as that person died or she died, usually what we are referring to as is the sense of self, the identity that we kind of have engineered over the years, the engineered construct that we have built. Like, for example, my name is Rehan. Who is Rehan? 22-year-old kid. According to who? 22-year-old, this whole system to count age and all this. We humans, we have created this, right? There's a concept called psychological time and the real time. You could look into the works of Jiddu Krishnamurti. He talks a lot about these things. So when we say we die, what exactly is dying? I mean, to me, what appears to be true is that our sense of self dies. So what you refer to as the I, your name, what you are identified with, the person who is living on the physical plane, interacting with people, interacting with the world, that person dies. But this flesh, this skin and everything that you have, it is going right back to the place where it came from. That's the Mother Earth, right? Matter can neither be created nor be destroyed. So it just, you know, converts from one form to another one. So essentially our sense of identity dies. That's how I see death. How do you approach death? What's your understanding of it? And would you agree with me or disagree with me and things like that?
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there. I've seen them in the forums everywhere. They're like, how do you know death is there? And, you know, there's afterlife. There's this, that. The Egyptians used to believe that. For me, dude, I have not fucking seen it. How can I tell you? I have not fucking seen it. For me, for what we believe now that we know is that after death, you're gone. That's it. The last breath you have.
But what is this you that you're referring to? You are gone. So which you are referring to? The you? This you or like which you? Like what is this you?
This you is that, you know, the you that you have the soul, the consciousness and everything.
Are you talking about the awareness that you are alive right now? That sensation that I'm alive, would that be gone? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, like the whole... Like your system's gonna die, bro. Like you're not gonna have consciousness. You're not gonna have anything. Like, yeah, it's just that I have not. Like, obviously, I'm not dead, so I can't tell you. But yeah, it's just like.
Apparently, there are people on social media that would even claim that they have experienced temporary death. I think that could be replicated with substances like DMT. I'm sure you have heard.
Yeah.
5-MeO DMT and things like that. I've talked to one guy.
It's like. Yeah. Oh really? Wow. Yeah, DMT, actually, I heard of DMT kind of dissolves the ego, and dissolving ego is equal to like death, because ego itself, if you look at it from a psychological perspective, it's a person of itself. So killing it, it's like gives you the feeling of all the feelings you have regarding death.
No, the reason why I asked you about this whole thing, that what do you think of spirituality, is because it's the most misinterpreted word that there is. Every 15-year-old is fucking spiritual these days. Like they would buy some Rudraksha Mala and everything, and then they become spiritual all of a sudden. Meditation for 15 days, and then now they're like 15 minutes a day for 15 days, and now they're spiritual guru somehow on the internet.
Another thing is, like, if someone finds this thing, you know, like they listen to this
at least this will clear some of the confusions, because you know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. If someone has walked the path, they can just tell you, you know, do this, this makes sense, don't do this, this doesn't make sense.
So Somo, tell us about your Vipassana's inward experience. Like, when did you get there? What was the whole scene? And what went, you know, like, there are two questions. One is, give us your inward experience, and then there's the outward experience, which is the type of people that you encountered and the teachers that they were. And the inward is more like, what was the experience during the process, before stepping in and after stepping out? Three stages.
See, there's not much outer experience, because the whole process is Vipassana is inwards. So the only outward experience you feel is just before that, when you talk to your family, you're going out. I was pretty excited, to be honest. I was very excited.
Excited or scared or like curious? What was it?
I was actually pretty excited. I wanted to go out from my home at that point for like 10, 15 days. I just want to run away, honestly. I was like so bored of like same routines and everything. So it's like, you know, a young guy at the age of 18 to 22, they have this thing called regimentation. They want to seek mentorship. They want to provide allegiance to some superior, you know, mentors. Like, that's why so many youngsters join Sangha in the first place, because they want to, you know, be mentored, be guided.
So do you think that is the right thing?
Yeah, I think if someone likes taking orders and wants to do something productive, I mean, you can
But don't you think that the moment you seek a father figure or a role model, that becomes a shackle for you? Like, you place authority on someone, and then you become a slave to their ideology?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Depends on what kind of person he is. Yeah, if it's like a toxic person who is using you, manipulating you.
No, let's say this person is not malicious at all, but my life philosophy might differ from yours. And let's say I was to guide someone, I would definitely, most definitely guide this person based upon my experiences, which might or might not translate to the experience that this young kid has had. This might be helpful in a short while, but in the long run, I think that's how religions are built or developed over the years. Someone wants to do something good, so they start teaching some principles, and then they become shackles to those principles. This is what Bruce Lee was going against, right? In Jeet Kune Do, you have read.
He was going against
the whole idea of martial arts systems and structures. Structures becoming shackles.
See what you? Yeah, exactly. What you're talking about is structured and, you know, principles. Like, you gotta do it this way and this is the.
Yeah, it becomes an ideology after a certain point, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, no, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are like, you know, but they're there to guide you and support you on your bad time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
what's his name?
To help you. We just call him Goblu. He doesn't have any good name, actually.
And then that's a wholesome Bengali name, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's like, there's nothing. What are you talking about? Rigidity, I understand. Like, you know, you only do it this way or that way. There's no other way.
And then they wage war against those that are not similar to them. You know where I'm going with this? You see that? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this book called by, I don't understand, I don't remember the name. It's called The Spiral Dynamics, I think. Yeah, The Spiral Dynamics. It is a theoretical study of the human consciousness from each level to every level going up. This was actually used in the time of South Africa when they were having a huge crisis of apartheid. So they used this model, you know, because people were racist to black people. They were killing, torturing, everything. They used this model to, you know, raise the consciousness of the people there in South Africa. Understand, identified, like, which level of consciousness a person
is on. Level orange, level blue.
Level orange, everything. So this is the thing. So if you look at that book is, it's open principle. Like, religion... I don't remember. It's 2-3 authors, actually. Right. I think
collaborative work.
I don't know the author, but yeah, I think it's called The Spiral Dynamics of Cohen and Behok or something. So yeah, that's it. And if you look at that principles, they don't teach you this or that. Those are open-ended principles. Like, they term religion as the color blue, which is pretty dogmatic. If you think religion is, it's pretty dogmatic because it's very structured. You either do this or you do this. So yeah, that's a great book. That's a great book. And other than that, the idea of, you know, like a mentorship,
No, I think a mentor is good. If he's a good mentor who's 10 years older than you, who has the experience, because then you don't have to, you know, make the wrong mistakes. Because if you look at something, I'd say even Bruce Lee would say this, like, because he created this system, Jeet Kune Do, whatever, because there was this way. There's a way to everything, like in life, everything. There's always a way to go about things. So there has to be someone who has to go there first, walk the road, walk the paths and everything, and be like, okay,
and
this
then
is the
break
way.
Free.
Then break free and then help other person to guide, not walk, take, like, be like a baby, hold their hand, walk with them, just guide them, you know, like, no, do this, no, this time you can do this, you know, you can try this, maybe this will work for you. So that's what I'm talking about, not like, you know, like someone who will hold your hand, be like, no, you either do this or this. Man, that's not
the difference between laying out rules versus laying out principles, right?
Yeah. Because if you see a guy who's 16, 17, 18 years old, how much life experience do you think he has? Nothing.
True.
He's nothing. He's striving. Compare that to someone who's 30 years old, 28. He has seen life more than that kid. He knows what good to be done.
At least
what to be
in, on certain areas, at least.
Yeah, on certain
right,
areas.
If not everything
exactly.
on
now,
certain areas, yeah.
Now, how balanced that guy is, how much experience that guy is, that how better a mentor he can be. So.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you're giving advice to someone, it has to be very individualized. The problem with a lot
of
life coaches and this motivational speakers is that they give very, you know, it's like in India, we have this herd mentality, mass mentality, like if crowd mentality, if one person says something or if 10 people say something, the 11th one is going to come and join that whole circle without further having any curiosity to figure out the truth behind it. There is that.
That's like everywhere, man.
I mean, it's more like adamant here, bro. It's more adamant here. Like, people don't like to question. I've seen this.
Yeah.
They don't. There is a weird sense of comfort and security in the confines of what you're being told to do because that's what appears to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, like, I'm not saying, like, your parents are asking you to go to school and you're saying, I want to go and do my own thing. I want to drop out. Don't do this shit in India. You're going to fucking starve.
I think India is a second world country, right? Or
Third world.
Okay.
Their third world country is pretty.
Yeah. It's in developing state. The population is fucking overflowing. And London, my friend recently who moved to London, he was telling me, dude, you know, from the custom office to everywhere, it's just Indian. So it's India 2.0. Just imagine, like, you know, people used to say, England, come and, you know, fuck us Indian over. Now we are just repaying them back because London is full of Indians. So just imagine all these Indians from London come back here, all these Indians from China. Many Indian students go for their medicine study, Russia, USA. So
Ukraine,
many Indians are fucking surrounded everywhere. So imagine all of them coming back here. So it's like, God, I think Indians make 1/3 of the world. Sometimes I feel like there's so many Indians, especially
True.
Indian men. They appear on every girl's Facebook post. So,
vegan.
Thing is, so that thing is like what you were saying. I lost track.
Yeah, you're talking about Indians and London.
Yeah. So, with so many people's everything, you know, it's just, if you see the main purpose here, like it's also written in that book, Spiral Dynamics, India's condition. Obviously, you're going to focus more on the orange side rather than the, you know, spiritual health and everything, because you need to feed your family. You need to feed your own self. That's India's condition. So every country.
I think it's very hard to offer yourself the room to be introspective and
bro, you cannot be fucking spiritual if you don't have food to eat.
True. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. First, you have your certain biological instincts, some biological needs
to
meet.
You need to have, exactly.
Otherwise, your mind won't be free to let you take that course. So it's very difficult that way. I think this is why the spiritual community gets a lot of backlash, because apparently a lot of broke people on the internet are selling $5,000 courses on how to attract money like crazy. And
I never did this. What was this called? Attraction. What
law of attraction?
Law of attraction. Law of
attraction.
I don't.
And know. Biggest sham, bro. Biggest sham. Like, people are buying into this idea like crazy. Like, they're, I am rich. I am rich every morning in front of the mirror. Like, wow.
Have you ever done your taxes? Have you ever done your finances? No. Yeah, reading that would make you rich. You're fucking stupid if you think that.
Yeah.
Big industry. There's a water industry in America called Dasani Waters.
What about it?
They used to actually, this, like, you know, India has Kinley and other Kingfisher Mineral Water. So Dasani Water was US's one of the biggest water mineral water company. But, you know, lately people came to find out that their water, like, they used to provide their water with very toxic chemicals and everything that would make you more thirsty. That would make your, you know, throat and all dry in the long-term process, you know, damaging your kidney, liver and other organs. Mm. Just to, you know, make you buy more water. So that's the thing. But it was a big company.
Let's go back to Vipassana. All right. So yep. That intrigues me the most. I'm very curious creature by nature. So I want to know all about it from you before I go there.
Yeah.
So tell me about your daily routine and what would go down, the pricing and everything, the cost. I think it's non-profit, I guess.
It's non-profit, yeah. You can provide as much money as you can. I, first of all, didn't believe that because, you know, I was like, nah, I'm pretty sure if I pay, like, I know people who, most of them, I told you now, most were like 25% to 30% were students of our age or in college. So they give, like, most of them give 500 rupees. Now, they used to give us banana for breakfast and evening. Now, 2 bananas into 10 days, 20 bananas. 20 bananas, I think, cost around, how much will it cost for per person?
I have no idea, bro.
At least I think at least 100 rupees, right? Yeah. At least, just 20 bananas. Mm. So, outside that, there was so, the food was so amazing. Like, they used to give us the best quality food, I think, all vegetarian food. So there's no way 500 rupees is gonna be worth it. But yeah, they provided, and when you gave that rupees, there was not a, you know, pace of like, I thought they are gonna be like, can you give more? No, nah, I give 750, I think. So I felt
for 10 days.
10 days. Yeah.
10 days. I think it's being funded by the Goenkas, I guess, as far as I can.
Yeah, it's funded by the Goenkas. He's a big businessman. So he's using his money in the right place, I would say. Mm. But see, we are students, it's fine. I gave as much as I could. There are people who give 500, and it's up to them. And obviously, they get the funds from the foreigners and everyone and other schools out there who pay good. So yeah, he's doing an amazing work. It's like a charity thing. I know people who paid zero also, who come from so,
Yeah, not a privileged place. Yeah. And how was the day in the life when you'd wake up and then the meditation class and like what would go down?
Oh fuck, it felt like a meditative boot camp.
Right.
It was like a meditative boot camp. Expand. Yeah, like I would, if anyone goes to a Vipassana, first thing I would tell you is what I did, I made plan all of a sudden. I would tell you from 1 month before, just practice stretching, a lot and lot of stretching, because your back and legs gonna hurt like shit. And yeah, you're just gonna survive the process, man. You're just gonna survive the process. They're gonna make you cry 10 days isolation without talking to everyone. You're gonna break down, have very bad symptoms. But I've seen this, you know, this is called the rite of passage. Like the Aztecs also, they used to call this, like, just send young boys. Even if maybe you've seen the movie Sparta, they used to send young boys to this mountain of, I don't know what it was called, and the boys would survive and come back. There was, you know, renowned the Spartan.
Even in the ancient Vedic history, you have like the concept of vanvas and things like that.
Yeah. So that's like a guy's rite of passage, you know, like his rite of passage, he earned it. So that's more like it, you know, you start. I've seen this with everyone. Day one, day two, you're very excited, you know, doing this. Day three, it starts going down. Day four, you hit rock bottom for most people, or day five, six, seven, it fluctuates. 8, 9, and then over 8 or 9 is just one more day, and just over 9, 10 is just, so everyone's, you know, emotional reaction is different, but it's more or less the same, you know, like it goes up, down, huge swells of emotion, and over time it gets stable.
So like how the routine look like when would you wake up? Let's start with that.
4 a.m.
And when do you usually wake up in the morning?
At 4 a.m. Before
At this point or before that?
Right now I wake up at 10, 11, 30. I sleep at 4.
Right. So it was the complete reverse down there.
Yeah, it was the complete reverse. It only took me one day to adjust. It's not that hard. Some people make a huge deal out of it. Because you are going to be so tired after a whole day of doing meditation. You're just going to fall asleep automatically. So yeah, it was like that, you know, ups and downs, lots of ups and downs. And in any process, if you look at, you know, documentaries of, you know, military boot camps like the Indian Army, the Parasaf, Marine Corps, Marine Corps. You always see guys, you know, breaking down, crying.
Hardcore
which
discipline.
Is needed. Yeah, because it's not discipline, bro. It's like an emotion. If you want to master emotion, bro, you must cry like a little bitch. You must get so down that you're like, fuck. Because that's how you really learn something, you know, because as a 17-year guy, you have no experience of the world. You just don't know anything. 18, 19, you're like, how much
very humbling,
how much hardship. nothing. So yeah, that's why I really support actually. Well, I don't support military boot camps because I myself didn't join it, and also there are other stuff there, like, you know, isolation. I'm a guy who I don't like isolation. I like being surrounded with people, but that's why I like stuff like that, you know. But you can do that. Like, there are other, you know, paid military boot camps which can give you an experience like that, you know, make you work your ass off. That's why, you know, having an, that's why mainly having a mentor is very accountable, because he can push you, you know, make you cry, but also support you at the right times. So that's, I think that's very necessary.
True. So you guys would basically wake up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then what? Like, meditation starts right on?
Yeah, some guys were fucking beasts. They could go at 4 a.m. in the morning, but our meditation usually start from 4:40.
Uh-huh.
At that time, you know, empty you stomach. Can do your morning routines.
Like, on empty stomach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, empty stomach. We used to, I used to mostly go by 4:30. Mm. Or the last minute when it's 4:40, I would just lie in the bed because my body used to pain so much.
Mm.
Then I would just go sit there in the infamous lotus position, my feet's all hurting. Then start for 2 hours. You have your breakfast. That's the time you're most hungry. Then you have a very short gap between breakfast and lunch. You had your lunch around 10, which is not me. I used to have my lunch at 4 or 3. Then you have your evening, like dinner, by 5. And that's the last meal you have. No more meals after that.
No fruit.
In the evening, every day, you are just given puffed rice, you know, the Indian muri, some peanuts and tea and milk and cornflakes, if someone does it.
I mean, it changes your general routine in a way.
Oh, the main part was the hunger. The hunger was very hard. Mentally, it was so fucking.
Personally, without, you know, a good amount of carbohydrate, I find it very hard to doze off at night. Happens for me. I don't know. So it must have been hard.
That's why it's called the rite of passage. Now, people who were like sick, who had pressure issues or something, they were asked to, you know, take care of their medication. Because they had problem, like, you know, health and other. They were telling, you know, not to skip meals. You know, young guys like us, for me.
Okay, so that's a general routine.
Yeah. So for us, guys like us, if you want to build emotional strength, the best way to build emotional strength is fucking get, like, tie like a little bit. Get down. So that's the best way to build strength.
Okay, so how many hours typically on a day would you meditate over there? Like, did you guys have like a hall or something, or like an outdoor place?
Yeah. A hall.
Now, all of you, like the males and the females, all of you, like men and women, would gather at the same hall?
There was hall, which was for the more experienced student. It was like pin drop silence, no voice, like no sound, whatever, like not even a sound of a fly. It's so fucking silent. It's like chambers, little chambers. It was very uncomfortable. I was made just sit only one day. I only go there one day. It's for the more experienced student who are doing for the second time. They were sent to Pagoda Hall for in the second times only. Second is only for us. We just were given one day because we are the newbies. And usually, other than that, we used to mate it in the hall. And pagodas was only given in the time of, you know, after lunch, so around 11 to 1 or something like that. After that, no one was. And 2-4. And after that, in the night, there was no pagoda. In the morning, also no pagoda. So that's like, you know, I used to make jokes in my mind, like, that's like a Dragon Ball Z hyperbolic time chamber. Like, time slows down there because everything is so silent. And yeah, it's all white picket walls, like everything white, everything.
Like, when you keep yourself disengaged from your day-to-day activities, time kind of stretches up, isn't it?
Yeah. Some days are really hard. Yeah, and everyone has seen this, even who have done 5, 6, 10, they say it gets each difficult every time. It's the same difficult, actually more difficult every time. So it never gets easier. And the thing is, and also students who are like we were the beginners, students who are intermediate, like who are the second time or third time, they were only asked to have 2 meals. For us, we were given 3 meals. They only has to give 2 meals.
Is it like intermittent fasting?
No, but you cannot fill your stomach. Like, you cannot have like a monster. Like, you always have to be hungry, because hunger will give you that, you know, fuck, that mental pain.
Drive,
that you have. Yeah, that pain. Basically, it gives you the pain.
for me it was pain.
But don't you think that if it's a very good thing on one hand, because they said that when you do things such as intermittent fasting, it kind of gives you the drive to go out and, you know, in the primitive times they would go out to hunt on their empty stomach so that they would have it better, so that they could do it in a much more efficient way. But don't you think that if you do that for too long, you kind of starve yourself off of, you kind of rob yourself off of that basically. I mean, of course, if you're doing it for 10, 20 days, it's fine. But if you're just eating two meals a day, that too incomplete or insufficient to fill your appetite. And I'm not saying that have gigantic monster like meals.
See, it was given, the instruction was eat as much as you need.
Okay.
Don't overfill yourself. Don't underfill yourself. So that you have to understand, because in
how gastric issues could take place if you just, you know.
So many times. I used to have people fart all around the hall, you know. So other than that, it's this. Yeah, that was the one. And in the home, I'm kind of person who overfills myself. So that's something I have to keep in mind there. You know, feed as much as you need.
Mm.
Yeah, but most of the time, the whole thing from if you tell me what is Vipassana in a nutshell, it's being silent and mentally fucking you up, like giving you much pain, so that you're like, at one point you're like, fuck pain, I really don't care, bro. I am kind of liking it, fuck this.
And so break down to a point where you can start to reconstruct yourself all the way.
Yeah, it's like a very deep level, you can say identity level change or whatever you want to call it. It's like a very deep level, you know, subconscious level, like programming change, you know, you're changing your beliefs and everything through action. Yeah. It's not just, you know, just you sitting around, it's through action, because that pain is very necessary for yourself to change. Without that pain, that's why most people who are, you know, who don't push themselves in the home. And some people can. For me, I could never push myself that point. But when you're there 10 days, you have people accountable for. You cannot stretch your legs. You cannot, you know, be wiggling around too much. You have to be very efficient in what you do. So, yeah, a lot of, you know.
Speaking of pain, have you watched? Yeah. Speaking of pain, have you watched that 1999 movie Fight Club? Brad Pitt and Edward Norton. So I don't know if you can recall that. There was a scene in the movie where Brad would take Edward's hand and he would kiss over here. And then he would take, I guess, some acid or something and just pour it on top of the hand. And Edward would be like, oh, like, leave me. What the fuck are you doing? And he's like, this is pain. This is suffering. This is life. Don't shut this out.
Yeah.
Now, Edward, in response to that, is constantly trying to escape it. He's like, I'll go to my cave animal. I'll do guided meditation and I'll escape.
Oh, yeah.
And then he slaps him hard and he says, this is life. Where are you running? Here is the pain. Concentrate here.
Same with Vipassana. This is what you explain. This is Vipassana in a nutshell. This is what they taught. This is life.
But in a much more peaceful way. Without having
classical stuff. That's fucking psychotic. You couldn't do that in your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the same. That's
Vipassana
in a nutshell.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you need to accept some amount of suffering in your life. You can't.
Yeah, because if you see life, we all have. If you even in Corona, you know, one of my best friend's dad passed away because of Corona. It was very heartbreaking to see that. So if you see that in life, everything is unpredictable. People are having disease. People are dying all the time. So, but people are, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I'm having mental trauma, whatever, I'm having this thing, I'm having this feeling. Like, when I always like to think, you know, like suffering, depression, you know, pain are all the same coin, like all the same part of happiness, you know, joy and everything, because they are two-sided coin. Happiness comes with pain and suffering and, you know, unconditional love comes with unconditional pain. So that's the thing, like we block out this pain and other stuff, and that's mainly the thing. You learn to accept it, you learn to see it for what they are. You understand, like, how, you know, we are like we feel pain and we kind of increase that pain from mental bullshit, like we're like, oh, pain. But when you kind of shut down this stuff, some of this down, you feel that pain is not that bad. It's just an emotional reaction. It's just chemicals in your body. Yeah, you just,
especially we're living in this time when we have easy fix for everything. Like, I was working for a guy. I'll tell you the story. He's from Norway. He has a YouTube channel. I'll give you his name after this whole session. He's sort of like a 25, 26 year old motivational speaker, life coach. And I was working for him as his VA, virtual assistant, for a while. And I would observe his nature of work. And it was not just him, bro. Like most of these life coaches, something that I was striving to be many years ago because I was fucking dumb and stupid, right? The way I see it, most people that are sitting on this high horse, charging people $5,000 to show people how to live life. I mean, how? Like, this is borderline delusion. This is borderline delusional. How the fuck are you? I mean, of course, I could take some perspectives from you and all that, but how can you teach me how to live my life? It's a big question that I have. What do you think about life coaches? What's your take on this whole matter?
I don't know. It depends. Like what kind therapists. Of...
Like if you're talking about therapists, it's a different thing because these fuckers are trained. Like they grill their ass for years.
Yeah, exactly.
How can you tell people how to heal trauma, when to get up in the morning, how to build discipline all at once? How?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I've observed this thing. It's really adamant in the West. This whole thing, the life coach movement and things like that.
For me, I would say life coach is like same with other coaching. Yeah, life coach, I think life coaching has much more mad dojos there in the field because of the nature of their work. Mm. But I have the chance to meet a few life coaches out there and I would any day. Yeah, their program is ridiculously expensive. I know that kind of sucks. But it's better if someone is having many issues and everything. Yeah, it's fine. They can take it. Like, I don't mind. But yeah, it's not necessary, I would say. But they're great people. Some of them have very highest level of consciousness I've seen like other outside the world. But there's one thing I have learned this from my mentor. And I think like that's the best thing like I ever learned. That is balance. You know, all these people who are like just, you know, people are so one-sided. Like people are either like, I'm a spiritual guy, I'm just spiritual. I'm a party guy, I just party. I'm a drinker, I just drink. Why not be everything? You can just balance and be everything. That's the thing.
You have hit a very good note on this one. Like the thing with spirituality, the way I see it, I think true spirituality is about not identifying with spirituality.
No, it's about balance.
If you're like, I'm spiritual, you dress up in a certain way, you sit in a certain way, and you talk in a certain way all the time, and you are saying, I'm spiritual because I'm this spiritual person all the time, they would look dead into your eyes and say, I'm spiritual. But I think the greatest teachers on earth wouldn't say that. But like, the whole idea is about not identifying with any archetype. Like I am alpha male. There is that movement. We can make another video on that. On the whole.
We exist as a whole. We exist as a whole, not just one aspect.
But I can't hear you. It's like we did.
Because I said because you exist as a whole. You don't exist as one facet or just one aspect. True. So why not work as a whole rather than just one facet?
Yeah. Right.
Because also one thing with spirituality. You know, spirituality. Sometimes I think they kind of fuck up your mind. This is true. Even good spirituality. Because if you are all the time, it's just you're, I'm spiritual. If you look for problems, you're going to find problems. I don't know if you know this phase. This is one of the brilliant phase. If you believe in ghosts, you will see ghosts. It's inevitable. So if a guy who is struggling to get his ends meet, who is lazy fucker, who doesn't work, doesn't have any passion, who is not striving, who is not taking care of his finances, his networking, his gym, how the fuck is he about to feel happy? He's eating 10, you know, this Burger King is offering 89 rupees to burger.
I think in this whole process, people kind of lose sight over life.
They escape. They choose escape.
They call it spiritual bypassing, I guess. They tend to not focus so much on their preliminary biological instincts. Like, we're animals at the end of the day. And any animal, even the dog down the street, would also be focused on finding meals and like, you know, protecting each other, like protecting themselves, finding shelter and things like that. Yeah, spiritual bypassing is a thing.
It's like, I don't feel good enough. A guy, let a guy or girl work towards his passion, work towards his goal. Then, you know, make them work towards their hobby, make them take care of their finances, keep them busy, make them go to the gym, work, socialize, everything in balance. I hardly doubt that guy is going to be like, I don't feel enough. That you don't just this, you know, this thing in the dating world is called, you know, she's out of my league. You know, he's out of my league. This thing, it's nothing, man. You're just a lazy guy who doesn't work, nothing else. And same with me. This is also true with me. I'm trying to work on this.
True. I think dating is another thing that we could make a video on the next time. Like, this is full on spirituality based podcast that I wanted to make. Yeah, like we could go into that in detail. I have a few more questions for you. Yeah, like you have plenty of videos on YouTube on things like general awareness meditation or concentration meditation and things like that. And how is it different from Vipassana meditation?
I would say it's the same, man. Like, there's nothing... Fuck, I look so dark. There's nothing so unique about Vipassana meditation. It's just Vipassana... Yeah, it is a special kind of meditation where you learn about your breathing more, about your body more. But it's, at the end of the day, it's just meditation. It does the basic thing, that is awareness. And the whole process, the whole 10-day of silence, being in a place away from your family, that's the main... I think that's the main spices. But as part of the meditation process, it is cool. It is cool. It's different from many meditation process out there. I liked it. But it's just a process.
Is it just like I've been doing this? I was doing this. I mean, to be honest, I've been doing this on and off. So I'm not going to pretend that I've done it. Like the general observation, the general awareness, the mindfulness meditation where you sit and you just, you don't concentrate on something, like contrary to a lot of concentration meditation based videos that you have on YouTube, but they say concentrate on your breathing, which is something that I always fuck up at, because the moment I focus on my breathing, I mess up my breathing. So what type of meditation do you do? It's like general awareness, you just remain quiet and you just observe everything happening around.
The level one for 3 days, you focus on your faculty of awareness, you focus on building up that. And how you do that is a very specific type of breathing exercise or breathing meditation, where you highly focus on the breathing, and they give you specific information and techniques, specific things to look for while doing that, like which part of nostril is they are touching. And they first, they start with your whole nose, then they make it shorter, like they make your half nose, then they make just the edge of the nose, so the awareness gets sharper and sharper. And by the end of the fourth day, they start give you the Vipassana meditation, which is like a kind of like a body scan. And it's like a dynamic body scan where you just go from head to toe, toe to head, just feel everything out, feel every, you know, it's crazy. I've heard some people could feel their molecules. I don't know if it's true or not. I have similar experiences like that, but I don't know what is that, so I can't term it, but it's definitely something. So,
may I ask, like, when you had that, that experience, sometimes they call it, I mean, it's going to sound very cliched and very weird to most people, figments of or fragments of enlightenment experience, hits of enlightenment experience. For a few seconds it lasts and then it fades away. It happened to me once, I'll tell you. I was doing yoga then, all right? So like there's a guy on Instagram who I was talking about to you. So he was teaching me some ancient yogic breath work and meditation techniques, such as the transcendental meditation and things like that. And, you know, I was doing it and I was having a hard time because of back pain and everything. I've had some injuries at past. One day, bro, like basically our meditation classes would start after 12 o'clock at night. Like he is like us, like young guy. So he remains busy throughout the day. So one day this, like, suddenly something happens, bro. And I'm like flailing back in the air. I'm closing my eyes. Like, of course, my eyes are closed. And it was okay up until the first 15 minutes or so. Something happened then and there. Like for maybe 10 seconds, I was in void. Like I was in void. I became the void. And I was flailing back. I was losing the body balance. But the moment I opened my eyes, I was right then and there. So I asked him, like, it was a live meditation. And I asked him, what was it? So he said that it takes usually a few months before somebody could experience that. But you have done it. Like, good for you. So I'm wondering if you have had similar experience, or is it different, or I mean, what was it? How different or how similar was your experience when you were meditating, or when you were hitting those special few moments?
Yeah, there's always special moments when you learn something. Like for me, I've heard people who are saying at the end of the day, and they have seen the light or something. I don't know what they mean by that, but We were just asked to focus on the smallest detail of our body, you know, because every emotional or every mental reaction has a physical sensation towards it. It is true. So we were just asked to hyper focus on that part. So yeah, I have gone pretty deep in that faculty, but other than seeing light or anything, like, nah, I
Yeah, and I had like experiences, like I had groundbreaking realizations and everything. I had that. And I think in any process you have that. So that moment where you, you know, break the threshold. But other than that, nah. About seeing the light and all, nothing like that.
Of course. Of course not. Yeah, I'm so here's where it gets really interesting. What according to you is enlightenment? I mean, this is a very weird and big, not weird, but a very large and very diverse. That's something that we could make a whole podcast about. But I mean, if you were to briefly explain what enlightenment means to you, or what do you think of it? So what would that be? I mean, how would you go about it? What is enlightenment?
Well, I never thought about it that way. Enlightenment for me, I think it's basically, I mean, you can answer that. You go ahead first.
I have no answer, bro. That's why I'm asking you. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I hear about this from people and it just makes me curious. So I'm wondering what's your take?
See, these are just words and sentences that we created. So I really can't tell you because it may be created by someone and he means it different. But for me, enlightenment basically means, you know, a person who's called enlightened, you know, the one who has enlightened, the one, you know, the ancient Greece in every Roman, they used to call the oracle or something, the one. So it basically means, I think, the enlightened one basically means the one who have, you know, achieved the highest level of consciousness, the one who have, you know, seen everything, but everything like that and all. But that only comes from fucking shit ton of experience in life, not just in spiritual dimension, in every aspect like job, finance, gym, networking, you know, social life, everything. So I think that's a person you can call an enlightened one, but
it's absolutely necessary to leave your work and leave your life and dissolve your ego and go to the hills or go somewhere else, leaving your family and everything to attain
fuck
that?
Fuck.
Don't you think that's simply another escape?
Yeah, that's an escape. That's totally, I think this makes better. Yeah, you can see me. Nah, bro, that's totally escape. That's an escape.
You're looking totally Baba types right now in the dark with that beard.
Yeah, I saw myself.
Right, bro, like another interesting. Yeah, totally. Like I have gone full clean shaven and now here you are. Baba like beard.
You look good. Your hair looks amazing.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate that. You too.
I'm trying to make my hair a bit more spiky. So yeah, but it just comes falling down. I have like very thick hair. Yeah.
So bro, how would you draw the connection or draw a contrast between contemporary psychology and spirituality? Like the scientific part versus the esoteric part.
Psychologists are very, very fucking good at identifying the problem. I have very little experience with therapists because I had a few teachers I encountered and a few therapists, you know. One of my first teachers, she had some... See, there are many psychologists who have just completed their degree and they're just batshit crazy. They don't have any idea. They have no experience. They're just a bookworm.
Yeah.
They have this huge ego that we know psychology, but they don't know shit. You can treat them like shit.
Have you ever been to any therapist or something like that?
I have talked to a few. I have not have any detail. Two of my very close friends are learning therapies and all, you know, psychology. So I know a few things. But outside that, I have never been to a therapy session myself. So, but I will tell you this, the biggest problem with modern psychology, they are very good at identifying the problem. No doubt. But their healing method, like the CBT, if you like the most common cognitive behavioral therapy. Oh, fuck. They are just not on point, man. This is why I think when you mix this doctor called Dr. Shefali, she came on this. I don't remember this channel. She's a Vipassana practitioner. And I'm not trying to boast Vipassana. There are many other psychologists who have spiritual practices on the side. And when they mix psychology and spiritual things together, it comes out very efficient. Because see, in a normal life, not every people have fucking ADD. ADD is pretty common, but not every people have fucking, you know, clinical depression. Not every people have fucking, what was the disease called? I don't know. I forgot. Somatoform disorder. They don't have this, you know, schizophrenia and everything. So it does that exist. All this thing exists, mental retardation.
But if you look at the general curve, most people suffer from self-esteem, not finding their purpose, confusion, everything. So the general stream for in psychology for addressing this problem are horseshit. According to Indian therapists I've seen a few schools. There was this one guy in Jadavpur also. I'm not going to tell the organization. They claim themselves master of trauma healers. You know, they're like, we're all A-class psychologists. But the things they were doing were like so beyond pathetic. They were giving like, they don't have the basic knowledge of therapy. They were just giving away their client details, everything. No confidentiality. And fuck that. I mean, it's cool if you want to brag about that. But the results, the client, everything we're getting were just awfully bad. Like nothing special. You know, just a pep talk, like a father figure, do this. The main problem with psychologists is like they try to change a problem, it's a behavior consciously. I mean, how the fuck can you change that? A behavior is something that happens subconsciously. They're like, oh, you know, be aware you're doing this because of this. Don't do that. I mean, best of luck trying to do that. Then they use a lot of affirmation and other stuff. Most therapists use affirmation. I hope so. They don't. But affirmation has their own fucking
story. That's another sham, bro.
Yeah, that's another sham. Affirmations and all, saying yourself to the mirror, whatever. So, yeah, that's it. Like, there are good therapists I have encountered. I don't know much about the world of therapy in India, honestly. But obviously, there are good therapists. But outside, there's one therapist that I'm trying to connect with her. Her name is Dr. I forgot her name. I'm so bad with it.
Yeah, it's okay.
She has a channel called the AHA Movement. She actually is not a clinically certified psychologist, but she was a homeopathic doctor. But she studied and, you know, she's practiced therapist and she's one of the best child psychologist she has become. So she's amazing. She's fucking amazing. She's an amazing lady. She and her husband does that. I think they're the leading childhood trauma, whatever you say, healers in India right now. There's so much more. Obviously, there's so much more. So you just need to find them and connect with them and everything. So yeah, that's my story on my psychologist.
No, the thing is that I think as a discipline, psychology is good. But in order to be in this business of therapy, you have to have a heart of a therapist or a heart of a healer, I should say. I think that's something that a lot of them miss out. I'll tell you, in 2018, right after I shut down my YouTube channel, and it was doing pretty well, if you ask me. I had no reasons to shut it out except for my own internal disturbances. So I shut it down. And I went to 3 psychologists. I'm not going to do any name dropping because that might get me in trouble. And bro, I don't know how to explain this to you. They fucked my head even more. They fucked up like whatever little sanity I had in me. They completely ruined it, totally. Like, here I was carrying some amount of shame, some amount of fear, some amount of trauma, and they were shaming furthermore, augmenting the pain even more. Instead of offering any solution, I wasn't even seeking any escape or something. I wasn't even aware of these jargons back then. Like, none of those. I was coming fresh and clean. It was no help. The 4th one was pretty good one. She was a lady and she she has a clinic near South City. And then that was the point in my life when I was first diagnosed with PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. So that was when I was diagnosed with PTSD and ADHD both. So my entire life here I had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder. And I was walking around like, nothing has happened. I was trying to learn things from the internet, do this, do that, trying to find a way out of the issues. And then I went to therapists. They furthermore even made things worse than how they already were. So yeah, like, I think I totally agree with you on that part. Like, to be in the business of therapy, you have to have a heart of a healer. You should be much more interested in actually helping the person sitting opposite to you. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, this was amazing, man. Yeah, there's, I think therapists have their, you know, therapists are amazing if you find the good ones, but there's so many shitty ones. Like I told you, the thing of McDojo. McDojos are everywhere, man, and that's the problem. And yeah, that sounds like a very good therapist, man. So are you, like, still dealing with all this, like, PTSD and all? Still working towards
it? I was going for therapy for about, I went for about a month and a half, and then I had left. I should have continued. I honestly feel the ADD thing cannot be worked out or fixed because it's genetic. I think you know it. And this is why I'm a little bit neurotic in my behavior. Even though I'm very socially awkward and shy and introverted, if you see me down
to
the street.
To be honest, ADD is not that bad. I think ADD, most people have it. ADHD, you mean?
Yeah, a lot of people do. 30 to 35% of people, young kids do these days.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can turn it to your advantage, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I know a guy who has ADHD. He's a fucking beast. I don't know how he turned it around. But you usually get ADHD also through traumatic experience. So some people, I know he was in special forces. So he had the PTSD and he had ADHD on top of that. And the ADHD was triggered because of his PTSD.
Wow.
So I don't know, in your case, maybe it could be
I don't know in details about that. But the PTSD mostly comes from my, of course, childhood experience.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it has to do with the fact that you know, when you're an infant and let's say your parents are not with you, that's one thing. You grow up without them, you kind of have developed you kind of make peace with the fact that you're an orphan or something, but it's something else when you have them around you and then they shut you out all the time and then they trigger certain things in you all the time. It's a very deep issue that I have had.
Yeah.
So I'm like, in one way, it's good that that awareness was brought to me. But I still don't think that I have completely gotten over it. So perhaps someday I'll get through this thing.
It's understandable, man. It's no big deal. We all have problems. We all have blockages. It's just part of life.
True. So, bro, one or two questions only.
Just one question to me. One question I have for you. Yeah. When you were diagnosed with ADD, do you realize that you are having certain episodes of emotional, uncontrollable outbursts? Because that's something
I've heard. That's how it started, bro. That's how it started, bro. I was like, there was a big fight one day with my mom, and usually pre-2017 I would be the guy who was angry, carrying around a lot of anger. Like, I have had a fight with you on phone. I was carrying a lot of anger, but that was still contained, right? One day it happens to be that my mom and I have this breakout, and this was for the first time, bro. I lose sense over what I was doing. And I shut everything around, like the refrigerator door and everything. I shut everything out. I was breaking things. I was shattering things. That's when my family thought that it's pagal ho gaya, like he's gone completely mad. So I was like, man, years of pent up anger. I had to let it out. But I mean, even after doing that, I did not feel any better. I just felt worse for doing that.
Yeah, you feel more regret.
Very regretful. Yeah, exactly. So that was my first, like at 17, 18, 19, that's when I first made a true inward journey. That's when I took a break from internet and everything and kind of turned inward to find what's going on and all that. So yeah, I have had episodes of anger, and I don't know how you're gonna perceive this, because it's not considered very manly. I've been shamed about this before. Like, anybody that shames, it doesn't bother me at this age, but when I was 17 18 it used to bother me big times, that I have this wild mood swings like a fucking lady in periods. All right. Mm. So you have a girlfriend, right? You know how they behave. Yeah. I also have one. How they behave when they are going through that phase. I have that phase going throughout the month, basically. So if you're good to me, I would be extremely kind to you. Although I've kind of grown out of it a little bit and built a little bit of maturity around how do I carry myself and how do I respond to people. But still, the mood swing thing is real, bro. For real. I mean, one day I wake up all excited and happy, the other day I wake up suicidal. So, I mean, that's the case here. That still persists.
Another thing
with ADD is that either I can focus on something or I can't. And if I do focus, I'm gonna be hooked into it for like 12 hours straight. All right, bro, it's already been like 70 minutes or so. Let's conclude this with one last question and then we can...
Yeah.
And bro, And yeah, bro,
of
course, we can make more podcasts in the future. I think I have had a lot of fun, on several topics.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, the things I can learn from you too.
You as well, bro. I've learned so much from you.
Mm.
So much. Yeah, bro. So if someone is, let's say, an 18-year-old kid, wants to get into this whole thing, has had issues with his, has had mental issues, not mental issues, because it's considered that to be a taboo or something. Like, let's say has had trauma or some sort of bad experiences in life and is trying to figure a way out around growing out of it. either through therapy or through spirituality, what would be your number one piece of advice to grow out of this growing problems or whatever?
See, I'm not an expert, but what I would tell you, I've seen countless cases of this, and what I have tell you is, first of all, don't be disheartened. You are not alone. So many people, you don't even know, your parents and everything, they have plenty of problem. Everyone in the problem have problems. So don't focus on the problem. If you believe in ghosts, you will find ghosts. That's lesson number one. Don't feel you're alone. Go to communities. There are many free, if you're having, you know, monetary issues. I know it's very common, Indian students and all. If you're having monetary issues, you can just, there, I'm pretty sure there are many communities out there who can, you know, there's all these people come together. Like, you know, I think there's things in USA where it's called drug or abuse, addiction problems. Yeah, they come together, sit in round chairs, they talk about it. Which is fine, than having no friends. So that's something. You're not alone. Do programs like this. Do Vipassana. Vipassana is super cheap. If anyone is in India who is like, I can't do Vipassana, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, a few days ago, a girl from Pakistan, you know, she was in group and all that. You know, she was asking, how can I come? Yeah, and then I told her this. And we were just talking about it. She's interested from Pakistan. So sadly, there is no center in Pakistan. So she wanted to come India to do this. Then outside that, Vipassana cannot cure you. If you have serious issues, you will know that. If you're having serious episodes of, you know, like crazy amount of anxiety, crazy amount of emotional, like fuck, like all over the place, you don't need to accept that, because that's not normal. You can seek therapy. You can, you know, take help of professionals. You shouldn't deal it yourself. It's not DIY, that thing. You have to, I know this sounds very heartbreaking, but don't worry, you're not alone. I think, talk to you, if you are a very young guy, you can talk to your school counselor. Our school had that. And just be aware of it and talk to about it, people. You know, the better, you know, some people like to hide about it. There's no point in hiding it. The more you can be aware of it, express it. Awareness itself is a healing process. The awareness is a good thing. And consult, do your therapies, go do your sessions. Don't lose hope and find a good therapist. That's the process, you know. I don't have much good idea about who are good therapists in India regarding, you know, all this PTSD and stuff, but I'm looking into it. I'm looking into this field. So yeah, that's it. That's pretty much it. And if you have, you know, if you're a 17, 18 year guy, you have normal emotions of, you know, like I feel I'm not good enough. She's out of my league. Get off your lazy couch, you motherfucker. Work hard. Build a good lifestyle, connect, network, work on your gym, work on your passions, be competitive. Things will turn out in a good way. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward and it makes sense, you know.
Yeah, man, I like it that way. I don't like giving hoo-hoo advices or like, yeah, jingle bell, hula hoo. It doesn't make sense.
The other day I was seeing this guy on Instagram, I think his username is Spiritual Daddy, right? So use spirituality to get laid or something like that. Yeah, snake oil salesman, you know. I looked into his account and all like misogynistic stuff, and we could make a part two on this thing.
Yeah, sure, any day.
Right, because you have kind of grown out of your introversion, has developed great social skills, and I'm still a little bit socially awkward.
Hey, I was cool.
All right, man.
Yeah.
I think the call is going to be disconnected in a few minutes only. So
yeah.
Thank you so much, bro, for making up some time. It means a lot to me, not just about the whole podcast thing, but as a friend. And
obviously,
a lot of fun, bro. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, me too, man.
Your
journey is amazing.
What's that?
Yeah, your journey has been amazing, man. Like,
yours too, bro. You inspire me.
Don't lose hope. Keep moving forward.
So crossover is happening again, I guess. Batman, Superman. The crossover is the show has just begun. We'll keep coming.
Yeah,
this is gonna air on 24th October, I guess. Yeah. So the crossover is ending.
I would say the Wedding Crashers. You know, I forgot the guy's name. There were two guys. Bad boys. Yeah. Will Smith and...
Yeah, I've seen it long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, bro.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah. You too. Bye-bye.